Hey, good morning. My name is Shane, and I get the privilege of being one of the pastors here at Washington Avenue. And a couple weeks ago, I was up here with my daughter. She's 3 and a half, and we were just kind of hanging out. I had a little bit of stuff to do, and so we were buzzing all over the place. And she goes, "Daddy, Daddy," not like that, "Daddy, Daddy." She says, "I wanna see the pictures." Okay, cool, yeah, the pictures, right? If you're familiar with our building, down here in the adult discipleship wing is, there's a long hallway, and it's got some pretty classic Kenneth Wyatt paintings of the disciples. And so I thought, well, that's the pictures that she wants to see, so we'll go see him. And so I take her over there, and I've got her picked up, and we're looking at how big and strong and muscular Peter is and how he's fixing the nets and all of this stuff. She goes, no, daddy, no. She said, "These are grown-up pictures. I want to see the kid pictures." Okay. So I'm racking my brain. The kid pictures. And then I remember that one of our members here at Washington back in the fall had commissioned. He's friends with a caricature artist. And he had commissioned caricatures to be done of all of the staff. And so they're hanging outside of our staff, outside of our offices. And that's what Janessa wanted to see, the kid pictures. Would you guys like to see the kid pictures? I see some very vigorous nodding going on in the congregation. All right, here we go. Here's the first one. It's yours truly. There we go. All right. Big old head and a tiny little neck, which is about right. Here's the next one. Miss Kathy's just looking sweet and cute and all that stuff. Is that showing up good there? Yeah. Okay, next one, Jada. There's Billy, who the caricature artist did a really incredible job here of making Billy look incredibly old and incredibly young all at the same time, which is perfect, right? Because nobody really knows how old Billy is. He's the kid's pastor, but he's in his six. I don't even know how old he is. I'm not even going to say. So, like, they did a really good job of figuring out Billy's youth and age all at the same time. Here, give me the next one here. Jimmy Carter's our preacher. I didn't know if you guys knew that. I'm pretty excited about that. He'll be preaching next week, so make sure that you guys are here for that. Hopefully he can stand long enough to deliver the sermon. Anyway, that's Jim. We love it. Lenny that's way too much weight in Lenny's face, right? Skinny Lenny, that's not quite accurate. And I think there's one more, maybe two. Kellerman, who I'm nervous to say anything bad about the girl. So that's a great picture there. Great picture of Madison. She's our college director and one of our executive assistants here. And caricatures are funny, right? Yeah, they make us laugh. Characters, yeah. I mean, I think it was like I think the girl that did it's like 15, you know, so it's incredible. But caricatures, they make us laugh. And caricatures are funny because they highlight our best and worst features, right? And they kind of like bring them together and then over-exaggerate them for humor. And man, they're funny. And so some of our staff members love their pictures a lot. Some others don't love them so much, but that's okay. I got a good mixture of both, I think. Caricatures are funny. So I'll be honest with you. In February, I find myself often thinking about heaven. Because in back-to-back Februarys, 1 year and 1 week apart, I lost both of my grandfathers, both of them pretty quickly, both of them pretty unexpectedly. My first grandfather, my dad's dad, Papa, who a lot of you knew, Dwayne, he died rather quickly from a really aggressive series of cancers that all invaded his body all at once. And it was like, fully healthy Papa at Christmas, something might be wrong, and now he's gone, right? It was fast, and it was aggressive, and it was a whirlwind. And fast forward to, that was in February of 2019, fast forward to February 2020, before the world blew up, my other grandfather had a series of strokes that were absolutely debilitating and that he never recovered from. So 1 year, 1 week apart, my grandfathers both passed. And so I find myself often in February thinking about heaven. And I've had 3-4 years to think about this now, and what I've found, or maybe come to realize, is that a lot of what we think about heaven is actually a caricature, right? Think about heaven for a minute. Just like think about what comes in your mind, and I don't want to assume anything, but maybe if I could be so bold for just a moment as to assume, I think that some images probably popped into your brain, right? Angels like those, right, on the stained glass, right? Look a lot like you and me, who just got some wings. They're a little bit more muscular and trim than most of us. And those are our angels. And we fly around in heaven all day with halos and harps. And we sing a bunch of songs. And that's what we are going to do for all of eternity. And I don't know about you. And maybe I'm wrong. But that doesn't sound awesome. Right? I know, just don't get me wrong. I love to worship and I love to sing. And it very clearly says that there will be singing in heaven. But I also think that what we have and what we think about heaven is mostly a caricature. That's not to say that it's bad or wrong. It's just not quite right. We're going to be in the book of Revelation this morning. It's the very end of your book and at the very end of your Bible. We're going to be in Revelation 21, so it's the very end of the very end of your Bible. So just like flip to the back cover and go back a few pages and you'll be right there. Can I tell you something? I'm going to let you guys into my life a little bit here. Going to open the door a little bit, be a little bit vulnerable with you guys, give you some ammo that I'm going to hope and pray that you don't use against me, okay? One of my biggest pet peeves in the entire world is when people say Revelations, because it's not. Look right there. It's a revelation. It's one. It's just one revelation. John says, like his the first sentence of the book says, the revelation from Jesus Christ. It's not that he had a series of visions, right? This is all happening at one time. It's not like he had a little bit. Chapters 1 through 3 were one night, and then he woke up the next morning, and then he fell back asleep the next night, and it was 3 through 6. And, you know, it was one long vision, one sustained revelation, not revelations. If you want to bug me, just keep saying revelations. Revelations. It's okay. We're going to be in Revelation 21 this morning, verse 1. Then I saw new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Stop. First thing I want to bring to our attention this morning, and I don't know what version that you're operating in this morning. I'm in the New Living. Nope, that's a lie. I'm in the CSB this morning. I'm in the CSB for the sole reason that I couldn't find my NLT this morning, and so this is the one that I grabbed, right? Because sometimes that's what happens. But here's what happens in the CSB. They say, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. And if you have an NIV from 1984, the original NIV, it's going to say the same thing, new heaven and new earth. If you have the NLT or the ESV, I think I'm pretty sure that it says new heavens and a new earth. When we read Revelation 21:1, it ought to bring us back from the very end to the very beginning, right? Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It's the same word, spelled exactly the same way, all of the same things, right? What the author of Genesis wants us to know is that when God created the heavens and the earth, he didn't create the heaven, the place that he dwelled, because he was already there, but rather he creates the heavens. And what they mean when they say heavens is simply the sky, right? And so in Revelation 21, when it says, I saw a new heaven, it shouldn't say heaven. It should say new heavens, a new sky, right? So from the get-go, we should let this kind of guide and to determine how we're reading the rest of the chapter. It's not that there's a brand new heaven that's being created that will come down and that we'll all experience, but no, a new heavens and a new earth. Here's the thing. We tend to think that this world is evil because it's physical. And on the flip side, that it's physical because it is evil. But that's not what the Bible teaches. Right? Actually, the Bible actively teaches against that. That was an ancient heresy called Gnosticism. Gnosticists believed that physicality and spirituality, they could not overmingle and overlap. It was their critique of Jesus's divinity and manhood all at the same time. It was their critique against the incarnation, that Jesus couldn't be fully God and fully man at the same time, because physicality, flesh, the physical world, and the spiritual world, they can't mingle and overlap. So Jesus couldn't have been fully God and fully man. Luke says, yes, he was. He was fully man. John says, yes, he was. He was fully God. They were writing against the same audience, the Gnostics, in two separate directions. And we, unfortunately, think a lot like the Gnostics, right? The physical and the spiritual can't overlap. But the Bible says, oh, yes, they can. The earth, the world, is not physical because it's evil, and it's not evil because it's physical. It's actually the exact opposite. Genesis 1:1. I told you we're going to be in Revelation. We're actually in Genesis as well. So you don't have to turn there. It's okay. I'll read it to you. It's all right. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, the earth was formless and empty. Darkness covered the surface of the watery depths, and the Spirit of God hovered over the surfaces of the water. God said, let there be light, and there was. God saw that the light was good and separated the light from the darkness. He called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was a morning, day one. He created something, and he called it good. And if you read the rest of Genesis chapter 1, every single thing that God creates, he calls good, right? This world that God has made and that God has given us is good. It is good in all of its physicality. Good. And yet, we have messed it up. That's not to say that it's not good. You may be thinking to yourself, well, Shane, whenever we did mess it up in Genesis chapter 3, then it stopped being good. I think maybe not. Because I believe that if it wasn't good, God would have told us it wasn't good. Right? Because when there was something that wasn't good, God said that it wasn't good. Genesis chapter 2, God creates man. He says, oh, man, it's good. Good job, me. Then he says, oh, it is not good for man to be alone. So I'm extrapolating a little bit here, and you're allowed to disagree with me. That's fine. But I think that if creation stopped being good after the fall, God would have said so. But he didn't. Now, the Bible does tell us that creation is groaning, right? Romans 8, all creation is groaning for the sons of man to be revealed so that redemption may occur. Because I believe, and the Bible believes, that what Jesus did, he did for us and for creation as well. And that creation is good. God made it and he made it good, but we ruined it, and God's doing something about that. Back to Revelation 21 with me. I saw a new heavens, new skies, and a new earth. For the old heavens and the old earth had passed away. See, we have this idea that if something is new, then it must be completely disconnected from the old. I need something, this thing that I have, it's old. I must toss it and get something new, right? But that's not what the Bible says either. And you don't have to look any further than the resurrection to see that that's the case. Jesus, right? Fully incarnated, God and man operating in one physical body together, which we don't even come close to being able to understand. He navigates this world for 33 years, and the reward for perfect navigation of this world is that he's hung on a cross. He's betrayed by one of his closest friends, and he's given an unfair trial, and he's hung on a cross, and he dies, and he's buried. And 3 days later, he raises from the dead, physically, like the same body, guys. His friends knew who he was, right? They recognized him. He even had the scars in his hand and this hole in his side, right? So just because something is new doesn't mean the old has gone away. Here's what I'm trying to say. In English stinks, right? English stinks. We've talked about this before together a time or two. When it comes to translating words, sometimes we use one word where the Greek uses many words, right? And the natural leaning is to go to the word love, right? I love my wife and my job and my best friend and pizza, right? And Greek says that, well, you eros your wife, and you storge your job, and you phileo your friend, and you, let's replace pizza with my daughter Janessa, because she's better than pizza, right? And you agape your children, right? Four Greek words for one English word. English stinks. There's another word that the English stinks at. It's the word new. Right? One English word, new, two Greek words. Let me tell you about them, right? First word, neos. Say it with me, neos. You guys Matrix fans? Everybody seen The Matrix? It's a movie? Nope. Thank you, Carter. Thank you, Maria. Right? Neo, the new, right? Neo, conservatism, new conservatism. Neoplatonics, right? Plato, new Plato, neos, neo, neo, new. New in time, to be young or recent, right? Let me illustrate it for you this way, all right? My truck, it's janky and it's old. I need a new one. I'm going to go buy a new truck. I have a couple of options. Here is one of the options. Jada, thank you. Look at that thing. Shoot! I love that color. I'm not a huge fan of like the body lines that Chevy's operating under, but this is 2023, so they've gotten better. Usually, they're not so good. But this is a new truck, right? This is a Neos truck. That truck is brand spanking new, right? It is young in time or recent. That's one option, Neos. And then there's kainos. Let me tell you about kainos. Kainos means to be new in quality or nature. My family, we do cars, right? And not so much me, but my parents and my dad especially. He is a car restoring machine. And that doesn't mean that he does it quickly, as you'll see in just a moment, but that he does do them, right? So this, the gold truck that you see up there, it's called Rocky Top. We name all of our vehicles, so you're looking at Rocky Top. If you look closely, I know it's kind of blurry. Tiny little Shane is back there by the white truck. Marveling at Rocky Top, thinking, why did we buy this? That thing is old. You can see the rust spots. You can see the Bondo on the fender. Here's what happened to Rocky Top. It was came from Denver, Colorado, or thereabouts, and it was used to plow hotel parking lots of snow, right? So it had a big old snow plow on the front. One day, this guy, the groundskeeper of this hotel, he's mobbing around on this thing in the snow, plowing, right? And he hits a parking block. Bam! Bent the fender, right? So the truck is not straight. It's like this. It's cattywampus, right? It's useless. My dad has this weird knack to find things like this. This was in the early 90s. It's not like he was just like piddling around on Facebook and saw this thing. Like, this is the early 90s. I have no idea how he found this truck. But he did. And he called the owner. And the owner told him exactly what happened. He's like, I'll take it. And he did. And we loaded up in the truck, the dually up there, and all four of us, we drove to Denver, and we slapped this thing on a trailer, and we brought it home. Good old Rocky Top, but not Tennessee. And that thing sat in our garage for like 20 years, doing nothing, just sitting there taking up space. It's like, Dad, are you ever going to do anything? Rocky Top, right? We'd call it Rocky Top, yeah? Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to get to it eventually. Here's the thing. He did. Would you like to see it? Jada. Ba-bam. Rocky Top. Same truck. Right? kainos. New in quality or in nature. Jada, give me telos or neos again, the blue one. Brand new truck. Neos. Kainos. New in quality or in nature. Would you like to guess which word Revelation uses to describe the new skies and the new earth? Not neos. Kainos. Kainos. Because what God made good. And he has set out from the beginning of time to fix it. Not just you and me, but all of it. Friends, he has set out to fix all of it. And the new heaven and the new earth that heavens and the new earth that John sees is the old earth made new, made better. There's a fun little phrase there at the end of verse 1. The sea was no more. We just pass right over that because the sea doesn't bother us, if I'm being honest, right? Like, anybody ever been on a cruise before? Yeah, raise them up high. Let me see what I'm working with here. Okay, so we got a lot of freaks who just like to sit on a boat in the middle of nowhere and party, right? Like, just absolutely like miles and miles from anything at all, right? We're comfortable on the sea. How about any like military people who spent time on a naval ship or a battleship or anything like that? Thank you guys so much for that. Same thing, right? Like, we're just bebopping around in the middle of the ocean. Like, the ocean doesn't necessarily bother us. And if that's not good enough for you, now we like to spend time like underneath the ocean, scuba diving and submarines and all that kind of weird kind of stuff. We're totally comfortable with the ocean. The Jews were not. All right, go back to Genesis chapter 1 for a minute. We'll try and do this quickly. This is fun. Genesis chapter 1 says this: in the beginning, God created the heavens, the sky, and the earth. Now, the earth was formless and empty. Darkness covered the surface of the watery depths. But I thought he hadn't made anything yet. The earth was formless and void. Darkness covered the surface of the watery depths. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Formless and void is a fine translation, or formless and empty, but a better translation is wild and waste. Because friends, our God is a God of order. God takes chaos and brings order to it. The sea in Jewish literature, every time it's mentioned in the Bible, 100% of the time, unless it's like Paul sailed across the sea, which even then is supposed to mean it was chaotic, means chaos, right? It is always a symbol of chaos. The Jews wanted absolutely nothing to do with the sea. We're perfectly comfortable with the ocean. It doesn't bother us at all. We float around on it. Can I show you guys something real quick? Because I thought that I was comfortable with the ocean. I'm not so sure now. Can I show you something? Look at this thing. Look at this. This is an eel. An eel that bears live offspring, right? It doesn't lay eggs like most normal eels and most normal fish. It just like pops them out like we do, right? This thing was discovered 3 miles beneath the surface of the ocean. Would you like to know when it was discovered 3 miles beneath the surface of the ocean? 2022. A month ago. Show me the next one, Jada. Look at those teeth. Show me that. Give me the wide shot first, Jada. Look at that. Look at that thing. Now go back and show them the teeth again, Jada. 3 miles beneath the surface of the ocean, they discovered this. It's called, what's it called? A hyphen lizard fish. It's hermaphroditic. And we discovered it in 2022. Show me the next one, Jada. This is called Sloan's viperfish. I don't know if you can tell from where you're sitting, but there's little white spots on its belly that are like electroluminescent, like it glows in the dark, which is weird because like the sun, it's 3 miles beneath the ocean. I don't know how the sun gets there, but it does. And it generates this electricity that causes it to glow in the dark to attract its prey so that it can snap them and eat them up. Guess when we discovered this thing? 2022, right? Show them the face, Jada. Look at that. That's its face. These things have been chilling in the bottom of the ocean for like, you know, millions and billions of years, perhaps. And we discovered them last week, right? This is why the Jews were scared of the ocean, right? And here's the thing. God created these things and he called them good and they're going to be in heaven with us. Think about that. The ocean is a chaotic place. And John says, there will be no more sea. Not to say that there will be no more ocean, but that in heaven, no more chaos, no more uncertainty. Earlier on in the book of Revelation, when John enters into the throne room for the very first time in Revelation chapter 4, he says, I saw a throne, and he describes all the things around the throne, and he says, and at the foot of the throne, the sea was like glass. God perfectly in control, all of chaos made and brought still. No more chaos. I think there's another reason that John says that there's no more sea. Maybe you care, maybe you don't, but I'm going to tell you anyway. Peter, James, Luke, John, Paul, all writing at different times in and from prison, right? We know this. It's not anything new. Most of their prison experiences were what we would think of as prison experiences, you know, behind bars, shackles, you know, some house arrest type situations for Paul and a couple of other people, but not John. John was exiled, right? He was sent away, and he was sent away to an island to live by himself. And we know from Revelation 1, 2, 3 that John is a pastor, right? And that he's writing, and he sends this revelation that he sees to seven churches that he travels around to, that he planted, and that he pastors, and that he loves. And the thing that is keeping them from him right now, and the thing that is keeping him from being there with them is the sea, because he's on an island. John says, there's not going to be any more chaos in heaven. It's also not going to be any more separation, right? Between me and my congregation, between me and my friends, between you and your friends, you and your family, and your spouse, and that child who you wish would come back home. No more separation between you and God. No more unfamiliarity. We're feeling like he is far, far away. There will be no more separation. There will be no more chaos. Friends, I've been thinking about heaven a lot, and I've been studying it a lot, and here's what I've discovered about what the Bible has to say about heaven. What the Bible has to say about heaven is really, really symbolic. I'm just going to read you a passage. You don't have to turn there. You should read all of Revelation 21 because it's beautiful, although a bit weighty at times. Revelation 21 verse 9 says, then one of the seven angels who had held the seven bowls filled with the seven last plagues, he came and he spoke to me, come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. He carried me away into the spirit to a great mountain and showed me a holy city. But I thought we were talking about a woman, the bride. No, it's a holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, arrayed with God's glory. Her radiance, the city has a gender now, her radiance was like a precious jewel, like jasper stone, clear as crystal. It had a massive high wall with 12 gates and 12 angels at the gates, and the names of the 12 tribes of Israel's sons were inscribed on the gates. And friends, as you read Revelation 21, what you begin to realize and understand is that when the Bible tries to tell us what heaven, what will be in heaven, it's very, very symbolic. I saw a bride coming out of heaven, but it was a city, but it's actually the church. Like what is, John, you can almost feel like his tension. He's trying to pin down like what this all looks like. There's only a finite number of letters and spaces that you can combine to get things to way to describe what he's seeing. What the Bible tells us will be in heaven is symbolic, but what the Bible tells us won't be in heaven is literal. If you could say it another way, that heaven will be a place of no mores. Heaven will be a place of no more late night phone calls of fathers passing away, no more holes in socks or running late or dead batteries or ads, no more spy balloons or political wrangling or pain or buffering or divorce or grief or violence or sorrow. There will be no more animal cruelty, no more questions or loneliness, cancer, wedgies or lost favorite pins, food poisoning, frustration, disappointment, electrical buzzing. There will be no more flat tires or vacuuming or dog-eared pages. There will be no more melted ice cream, no more shame or jealousy or miscarriages or CPAP machines or heartache or heartburn or sweating or taxes. There will be no more disease, plagues, war, weather destruction, euthanized dogs, hunger, homelessness, money, spilled milk, licorice, F1 bombers. There will be no more Band-Aids or blood pressure monitors or scales or cell phones or forest fires or shoelaces that have come untied or thermometers. There will be no more 1,000-piece puzzles. Hopefully, there will be no more puzzles at all. In heaven, there will be no more holes in your favorite pants. There might not even be pants at all. There will certainly be no more worrying, no more COVID, no more well-done steaks. Can I get an amen? There will be no more fear, no more scars except the ones on Jesus' hands and his feet. There will be no more being hangry, no more feeling insecure, no more sleepless nights or splinters or spit-up covered clothes. There will be no more mosquitoes and age spots. There will be no more sleepless nights, which actually made the list twice, and it's fitting because I was up all night with my son last night. There will be no more desperation or WD-40. There will be no more faulty lawnmowers or selfishness or insecurity or traffic jams, time, homework, comparison, name-calling, social media, sermons, amen. There will be no more hatred, no more degradation or rust or moths or marriage or broccoli or ER waiting rooms or ER emergency rooms at all. There will be no more stress tests, no more overbaked cookies, no more moldy bananas or squeaky chairs or birthdays or spit up or hiccups or sweeping or laundry. Death will be no more. Neither will there be any mourning or crying or pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. And he who is seated on the throne, Jesus, said, "Behold, I am making all things new." Kainos. New in quality or nature. I believe that there will probably be some new things in heaven, and I can't wait to see them, right? We talk about angels and cherubim and seraphim, and we don't know what those things mean, and I'm excited to see those things, but I'm equally, if not more, excited to see the kainos, because I look at creation, friends, and I see rainbows, and I see storms, and I see mountains, and I see waterfalls, and those things are beautiful, and they're broken, and God is going to take all of those things and whip them up and fix them and make them even better, and I can't wait. I cannot wait, and I hope that you can't either. Friends, heaven's going to be a place of no mores. And I don't know what jumped out to you about that list. Maybe something, maybe nothing. That's okay. Here's my challenge for you this week. Make your own. I can't tell you how fun and therapeutic it's been for me this week, these past 2 weeks, to sit and think about all of the things that won't be in heaven anymore. Somebody came up to me after last service and you said, "There better be puzzles in heaven." I said, "Well, if they bring you joy, they probably will be, because that's what heaven's designed to do." I hate puzzles, so there's not going to be any puzzles in heaven for me, right? When I look at this list, friends, I think about things like selfishness that I struggle with every single day, and insecurity that I struggle with every single day, to remind myself that someday soon it's not gonna be there anymore. Man, that is so comforting. So I don't know what you're going through right now. I don't know if your biggest inconvenience is the hole in your socks, or if the biggest inconvenience in your life right now is you're trying to figure out what life without your spouse looks like. But either way, my challenge for you is to make a list. Put it somewhere where you can see it, so that you can remind yourself and be reminded that one day, someday soon, we don't know what heaven is going to be like, but we can confidently say that heaven will be a place of no mores. Father, we thank you for that. Can't imagine. Can't wait. Father, in the here and now, God, help this not to fuel escapism in us, because that's not what you call us to. We're going to talk about that next week. You don't call us to escape this in favor of heaven, this good creation that you've made. You call us to engage it, to be the overlap of heaven and earth. I don't want to tread too much on next week's sermon, but help this not to be fodder for escapism. Help it to be a balm for our souls when we need it, to bring comfort, maybe a laugh. Thank you, God, that you are right now. Right now. From the moment that you stepped out of the empty tomb, alive, in your physical body, making all things new in quality and nature. It's because of that that we get to look forward to new heavens and a new earth, and can't wait to see what that's about. But until then, may we live as though we're already there. Thanks for Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Let's stand and let's sing together. And if you are not sure where you stand with Jesus today, if you're not sure
Hey, everybody. Thanks for checking out a worship experience here at Washington Avenue Christian Church. We're so glad that you chose to carve out part of your weekend to spend with us. And we would love to know that you were here watching with us online. So would you take just a moment, head over to our website, wacconline.org, and fill out the digital connect card there. You can let us know that you were here. You can let us know any next steps that you may be interested in taking, including but not limited to placing your faith in Jesus for the very first time. You can also let us know about anything that we can be praying about for you and with you. And I will be following up with you later on this week about those Connect cards. Again, we're so glad that you chose to be with us for this worship experience at Washington Avenue Christian Church, where real people experience real grace.